back. It's the creepiest intro, isn't it?
Hello, hello, hello.
Well, anyway, welcome to Tipsy Theology. My name is Paul, and I'm all alone today. I'm all by myself, all by my lonesome. So I'm sure you're asking, why are you by yourself, Paul? What's going on? Thank you for asking. Thank you for your concern. Much appreciated. And that's a great question. Did Trey go? Where is Trey? Trey's still here. Trey's around. So as I'm sure you guys know, and if you don't know, well, listen back and then you do know. We had our season finale like almost a year ago or whenever that was, months ago. And we just never came back. Part of that was just life changing. There's some stuff, you know, Trey working on school, and he told me, he's like, hey, you know, make episodes, that's great. I just got to focus on school. And I said, sweet. And then life got the better of me, you know, with the, I switched to, I don't know if, I'm sure it was, I don't remember what I said in the last episode, it was such a long time ago, but I got a corporate job. I'm a corporate man now with the ball and chain. And getting used to that, whereas before I was doing freelance work. So now I'm like, okay, I'm trying to get used to this new style of work, this new whole thing. Moving, I'm looking at buying a house right now, which is kind of exciting. So yeah, there's just been a lot going on, and this fell by the wayside. And I'm like, this can't be. I got to get back. I got to get back to the tipsy theology and to the theologians, the tipsy theologians we have here. But hey, if you're still listening, I appreciate you. Thank you for listening to this and jumping back on. I do want this to be a consistent thing that I come back to doing now. Now, I can't promise right now the consistency schedule, but what I will be doing is I want to do one of these a month at the minimum. So expect that. 12 a year. That's not bad. I would like to get back to like the weekly that we had, but and this time there's a rainbow outside. That's kind of cool. But at this time, that's what I'm going to be looking at. Yeah, just as everything comes back. So right now it's me today. I wanted to take some time and just kind of talk about what's been going on, what is going on, and then what I would like to see, especially with this podcast going forward. Because it's not going to be me just ranting all the time. I mean, if you like that, cool, I can do more of it. Trust me. But it's not going to be that all the time, so I do want to let you guys know about that. But before we hop into all of that and more exciting things, what am I drinking today? Well, it wouldn't be Tipsy Theology if we didn't have some kind of beverage. Again, not to say that you have to drink beyond the podcast, but it is something that I do. Anyway, I have a sidecar today that I'm drinking. Ah, did you hear that? It's pretty good. And it's very tasty. If you guys have never had it before, it's a mix between brandy, lemon, and triple sec. It's a really lovely combination. Do you know what that? It's funny. One of the things that we had in that last episode is that people kept telling us that they liked was when we went a little bit more into the alcohol. And this one's a little bit different because it's a cocktail. It's not just like a straight, it's not like a beer or a straight liquor like we've done in the past. But this is a very interesting one. I learned about this drink. And for those of you that don't care about any of this, skip like 5 minutes and you'll probably be fine. 10 minutes to be safe. And then just scooch back. But it's a fun piece of the podcast that I want to kind of go a little bit into. So this drink, I actually learned about it kind of by accident. It was like one of those little like cocktail recipe books, and I was scooching through it, and I saw a sidecar, and I was like, that sounds interesting, and I have all those ingredients, because I just wanted like something easy to do. I'm an old-fashioned, I like Manhattans, but I wanted to try something new. So I had all the ingredients, like, let's give it a try, let's just see what it's about. And it is delicious. It's got this really nice, like, subtle, warm flavor and, like, feel to it. But then it also has a little bit of, like, citrusy lemon on the top, which adds a little bit of a bite, but not overwhelming. It's not like, sour, but it's just really like beautiful blend between like this nice sweet citrusy brandy flavor. I don't know if you guys are familiar with brandy. That is something that it's hard to describe because it's a cognac, but brandy is like it's a distilled wine. So it's basically like it took fermented, wine is fermented. So they took the wine, they're like, yeah, it's not done. We need more. We need to do more to it. So it definitely has that, like, brandy has that, like, warmth of wine. I don't know. There's something that's just very cozy about, like, a red wine. So it brings that along with it, but then also it has, like, the strength of, like, a whiskey. Someone might listen to this and be like, what are you on? I'm on brandy right now is what I'm on. I'm on brandy. and so I really like it. Highly recommend the Sidecar. It's a very simple cocktail to make. I think, if I remember, I don't even know if people actually know where it came from. But I think it was like after like World War One era. So I could probably look this up right now and know for sure, but I just don't. I'm remembering a Wikipedia article I read this morning, so I'm like, oh, let's go with that. But I believe it was that time. It was over in Europe, I think, and it's named after the sidecar for a motorcycle. I don't know why. I don't know why they'd make a drink. It's like, cool, let's name it after the thing that like isn't as cool. They could have just called it like a motorcycle and be like, yeah, that's good. I'm drinking a motorcycle. Like, no, let's call it the thing that goes on a motorcycle. I don't know. Not my best joke. I'm trying here. I'm getting back into the swing of things. I highly recommend it. It's got some cool, it's kind of mysterious too, because people don't really know. It's a mysterious drink. People don't really know like who originated it, as far as I know. I don't think they know who actually created it first. But it became very popular. I think, I don't know if it's still popular. I don't hear it often. I never heard of it until I saw it just in that card book. But now I'm going to bring it back because, you know, it's a gentleman's drink is really what it is. That's what I love about like cognac and brandy. It just feels more like sophisticated. I feel like you've got like those wine snobs and you've also got whiskey snobs. And it's a certain type of class that goes along with that. But I feel like brandy is like the traveler man's drink. It's like, yeah, I've seen the world. I know what's going on. That's how I think of brandy. That's how I assume it. Like I'm going to be sipping this next to, a wood fireplace, you know, like a nice brick fireplace with some nice, like, cedar wood around me, so maybe some like nice like cherry wood, maple or something, that just very deep beautiful colors, and I'm just sitting on this gorgeous leather couch with an animal skin rug beneath me and just regaling people of the travels that I've been on. that's how I think of myself when I drink brandy, and that's how I feel right now. You know, it's perfect for like a jazz club where you're just like, yeah, I'm better than everyone. So hopefully you can feel that too. Enjoy it. Go and make a sidecar. Pause the podcast, make a sidecar, come back. We'll drink it together. Welcome back. All right. Enough about that. I know it wasn't like super in depth for the people that really want detail. That was just a little bit because I didn't know that much. So I'm very sorry. I'll do more. I'm learning. I should probably have the notes like pulled up in front of me about the drink, but cool, baby steps, we're starting. But no, so the about the podcast itself, I will say I've missed doing this a lot, and but I one of the reasons I stopped myself even just going solo for a bit, or having like a lot of different guests on in Trey's absence. One of the reasons I stopped was because I felt like I wasn't in a place to do it. And the reason for that is because going into it, I definitely, the the amount of time that I spent studying scripture and just going through these like philosophical different ideas was a lot. It was a lot of time. I spent a lot of time and I had a lot of time to do it. But one of the problems that I felt about myself was this really became me. I felt like in a way I was using it to like show off in a way. And I've found that I've done that in the past before that I don't like. Not that you're going to go back and listen and be like, dang, Paul's super smart. You probably go back and be like, wow, Paul's really dumb. but that's one of the things that I felt. That it's like that mentality that I felt. And I didn't like that, and I didn't like the place that I was in, where I felt like, yeah, I was using knowledge and just like big words to make it difficult for people or use it as like a weapon. I didn't want this giant meat cleaver to just like boo, boo, you don't know what this means, you idiot. Yeah, I didn't like that. And that's kind of the mentality that I felt toward this. Even though which is ironic is because the whole idea of the podcast is to like let's sit down and have a conversation. But I didn't feel like I was going into it with the I wasn't always going into it with the right intentions toward the end. Or at least after we took a break and then me coming back to it. And that's not to say, please don't mishear that as like, I was just like mad at everyone and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, I love Trey. I love everyone who disagrees with me. I love people that agree with me. But there was like a sense, especially outside of the podcast, that's really where I felt it, outside talking to people, where I felt a sense of like superiority sometimes. And I didn't like that. Cause it was stupid. It's just stupid. And so I'm kind of coming back and like refocusing, especially because that I found what it brought me to was a place where I wasn't actually getting closer to Christ all the time. I wasn't really chasing after learning about him. I was chasing after learning about things so that I could show off how much I like that I read a book. It's like, look at me, I read a book. It's not that cool. And I didn't like that heart posture toward it. There's a little Christianese word for it, a little Christianese phrase. I didn't like that. And I wanted to take some time to kind of refocus, refigure out. The new job kind of, I guess time-wise, kind of forced me out of it for a little while. And really kind of put me on this journey to realize, like, what am I doing? What do I enjoy? What really brings me joy in life? And it's taken me a while to get there. To kind of spend some more time with that. And the one thing that I felt like I was missing that I really want to bring, and this is one thing that I want for the future of the podcast too, is this idea of, yes, let's have discussions, let's talk about these things, but let's always remember, which Trey and I said this in the beginning too, it's like, let's remember, you know, Christ and Christ crucified. And that's the big thing. It's the gospel of Christ. That's what all this is even about. That's what this is. That's the reason for any of this. And along with that, it's the idea of discipleship. And that's where I think we had, at least for me, it's like that was kind of in the grasp, but it wasn't fully defined. And I think that's the big thing that I want to kind of define more of, like discipleship. You know, and I'm not going to be hypocritical and say that I've got it figured out, because I don't. But I'm... As I said, you know, this is always true. I strive for truth, and that's what I want. And what I want that, the reason I want that is not to be smart, is not to be clever or like have these things figured out. It's because I know who Christ is and what he's done, and I want to know more about him. And that's what I want the intention of anyone listening to this to come to the table with. It's like just be willing to know who Christ is. And it's funny, people, you might listen to that and be like, well, duh. Obviously, that's why I'm listening to a theology podcast from, yeah, that's why I'm listening to from someone who's not a pastor. Uh-oh. Or a theologian or a scholar. Oh, no. But no, that's what I really want. I want that for myself. I want that from everyone else listening. Is I'm not here to I'm not here to argue with people. I'm not here to win arguments. I'm not here to lose arguments. I'm not here to fight. What I'm here to do is to figure out what is truth. Who is Christ? That's what I'm here to do. And sometimes, like, could be extrapolated from the conversations we've had, that you could take out of those conversations is there are things that I've grown up thinking, things that I've grown up learning, things that maybe through over time I've learned, and it's not right. Sometimes it is right. Sometimes it's exactly what the church has taught for hundreds of years. Sometimes it's different than what the church taught for hundreds of years. But at the end of the day, it's like, what is truth? Who is Christ? And as I've said in the past, and I will always say it till my last breath, truth is truth is truth. If it's true, it'll always be true. And the reason for that is because Christ, who is truth, Jesus, who is truth, will always be true, and he'll never be something that he cannot be, which is good, which is true. And so if what we're discussing, if what we're considering, if what we're working toward contradicts any truth that we know about Christ, then one of two things: either we're wrong, or two, we're wrong. Wrong in the sense of this goes against who Christ is, or two, it goes against what we thought Christ was, or who we thought Christ is, I should say. And that's where it gets interesting, and that's what I really want to focus on. And so it comes down to starting and figuring out, okay, so what is the fundamental truth of who Christ is? What are those things that cannot be contradicted? And I'm glad you asked that, Paul. Thank you so much for asking. You're welcome. Talking to myself right now because I don't have a co-host at the moment. I don't have someone else to bounce off of. So I'm going to be crazy and bounce off myself. You know what's great is in my head, I was like, this podcast should be about 30 minutes long. And right now, I think it will be, which is crazy. Usually, I'm like, it'll be like 15 minutes, and then I talk for an hour. Try not to let that happen. That's why I put some notes down here. Sorry about that. Yeah, so that's one of the things that I want to start with. In a way, it's like I want to kind of start with a foundation, a more solid foundation. And that's part of what even some of the things we were talking about, like Genesis with last season, those conversations were great. I loved every single one of those conversations that we had about everything. And I want to continue having those conversations. But the one thing that I really want to focus on is, at least in the beginning for these first few episodes or the first few little bit is, yeah, what are those truths that cannot be contradicted? What are those things? And then it's fun because then we get to go and apply that to different things and get a little bit deeper with things, get a little bit more philosophical about these things. Like, what do they look like in real life? How does this actually play out? Because the one thing that I see, and this is why it goes back to conversations that we've had in the past about, like, Christianese terms and words and definitions. They're so important. They're super duper duper important. I threw an extra duper in there because it's very important. And those are the things that we need to define and understand. And unless we do, unless we're on the same page about what words mean, what concepts mean, what they are, then we're always going to fall into traps. We're always going to have huge disagreements with people because we're not talking about the same thing. And so that's where I want to spend some time working through those, which might, for some people, might be like, okay, that's very fundamental. That's like boring. Like, let's get to the cool stuff. It's like, yeah, we will. We got to get through the boring stuff first. And ultimately, it's not boring at all. It's actually sometimes the most complicated thing. That's the one thing that I always loved learning. Honestly, when it comes to learning anything new whether it was learning music, whether it was learning a sport, or you know, whatever it is, it's like the fundamentals are always the most boring until you get good enough and realize, like, oh, these are crazy, and how vital they are. Because without those foundational pieces, without those fundamentals, you can't do anything else with any substance. What do I mean by that is, like, let's say I'm like learning piano, and there's the scales, there's this, there's, you know, let's go with scales. I'm trying to make this analogy way more complicated than it needs to be. Looking at like scales, like, boring. I hated doing them when I was younger. Like, this is so boring. It's annoying. But you learn those, and then I learn classical pieces, and then I learn, you know, how to, like, I start developing, like, writing my own music, and I do this, and I do that with it. And then I realize, like, I need to practice my scales more. And the reason why is because it teaches you your fingering. It teaches you chord voicings. It teaches you keys, signatures, like, all those things that it teaches and packs in to this very simple practice. But there's so much in it, which is why it's fundamental. And it guides you into everything else that you do. If you're going to do, like, a little, like a run on the piano, it's like, well, how do you know how to do a run well? Because you did your scales. Anyone who plays piano, I guess, hopefully you understand. Same thing with guitar. You can't do these crazy sweeps unless you know how to properly place your fingers in each of those things, which is, in a way, it's a scale. It's a different kind of scale, but that's what it is. And those are fundamental things. So it's the same thing when it comes to studying scripture. Without a full can never have a full understanding of it, unfortunately. But without, like, a clear idea and understanding of who is God, who is Christ, what did he say, what are those attributes of Christ that cannot be contradicted, without some understanding or clear definition of what those are, then you're kind of lost. And that's okay, fine, I'll get into it. That's one of those things that I've been seeing so much with people, and I'm gonna use the word for it, and it's good and it's bad, but right now I'm gonna use it for the sake of it's bad. And that's the idea of, like, deconstruction. Everyone knew that's where I was going. You guys are all like, yeah, he's gonna say deconstruction. And what I'll say first before I get into this is, at the heart of it, it's a great idea. At the heart of it, it's like, this is great. Yeah. What you're doing is you're questioning the pieces and be like, why is this that way? Why is this? Why do we think this? That's incredible. I love it. That's what we're doing here. Like, that's what I want to do. I want to deconstruct these pieces so we can understand them. It's like tinkering. It's like, how do you understand the pieces and parts of a computer? Well, you can take it apart and learn how they work together and how they combine. It's like an engine. Oh, if you take it apart, you can understand, like, how these things go together. But the problem is, like, what are you putting back together? And that's where I don't like the whole deconstructionism thing. And that's where I'm gonna go off on a little bit here. So it's like, what are you putting back together? And if without those clear, understandable definitions of the foundations and why they are the foundations, like, I don't know that much about engines, but here I'm about to use this analogy. Like, you got your engine block, and it's like, cool, that's your core, that's your piece, that's what everything is built upon inside of an engine. Like, this is it. And if you're gonna adjust that, if you're gonna, like, oh, cool, let's just, like, make it flat, like an engine, you know, it's like this block. You're like, cool, let's change the way it looks, let's make it a circle. And it's like, cool, but you know, you just, like, adjusted, like, how the engine, what an engine is and how it looks. Some people are like, actually, there are round engines. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm too stupid to know. But hopefully you understand the point I'm trying to make here. And what you need to do is, instead of just, like, changing it, is being like, well, why, like, what is it? Why is it this way? Why is it built this way? And I would say, inside of scripture, those are those core fundamental beliefs of who is God. And I'll get into those more instead of just speaking about it very vaguely in another episode, because I do want to go through those. Not that I know them or understand them well, but I want to do that together with all of you. But if you're going to be, and here's the problem that I have, is that a lot of people that I see that go through this whole deconstruction phase don't have at the core of it, I'm not saying everybody, I'm speaking generally, so understand where I'm coming from here. But if you're deconstructing your faith, if you're trying to deconstruct scripture to justify your sin, there's a problem. Because just like I was saying about myself, I'm trying to study scripture so I can beat people over the head with how smart I am. Like, that's not right. That's not why you study scripture. You study to know who is God. Why do you deconstruct your faith? To better understand, why do I believe these things about God? And who is God? And if you're going into it with the idea of like, I want to, justify my sexual extravaganzas. I want to do it to justify my drinking habits. I want to do it to justify blah, 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 blah. And it's not that, I will say, it's not that cut and dry. It's not like everyone going into it is like, oh, I'm doing it for this reason. It's like, no, you probably don't. That's probably not at the core of it, but you understand where that's coming from. Some people, it is at the core of it. But it's like, who are you? Like, let me just ask that question too. Like, who on earth do you think you are? one of my favorite books is The Epic of Gilgamesh. I'd love to go into it more sometime if any of you know it. If you don't know it, it's great reading it from a certain perspective. So it's the for those of you who don't know anything about it, it's considered one of the oldest works known as far as the earliest recorded works. It would have been like before the time of like Abraham in the Bible. It's something that he would have grown up knowing, and it's about this king. Gilgamesh is his name, duh. And I believe the city was Uz that he ruled over. And he was, I don't remember the equation here, but he was like two-thirds God, one-third man kind of thing. It's like a hybrid. Someone might be like, it's actually the way around. It's like, cool, sorry, my bad. I'm working off of knowledge. I haven't read it in a couple years. But here's what's very interesting about it, is because it's from the perspective of what we would say is these false divinities. So it's like these divinities that are against who Christ is. So it's the other gods. And so they're doing their own thing. They're saying, this is kind of like a tale of history. It has a flood story in it as well. And it's kind of this, those events happening, but from the perspective of the other side. Very fascinating. I'd love to spend like a whole episode on it, or a couple episodes on it. But here's the thing inside of that, is even though they are against the L character, which for all intents and purposes, with some, exceptions to like the whole idea of El in Old Testament stuff, in like Mesopotamian beliefs, it is Yahweh for all intents and purposes. And they know that when El says something, that is it. They might not agree. They might not even like it because they're against him. They're his enemy, or he's their enemy, I should say, from their perspective. Yeah, it's like they know, like, oh, El said this would happen, which means that it will happen and nothing can change it. So going off of that idea, if even these the writers of this book about these other gods who don't like God, our God, if they're saying, yes, he said this and that is it. Like, there's nothing you can do. This is what it is. And you're like, cool, but what if I justify my sin this way? It's like, who are you? Even the other gods don't believe this. Even they know. And they're the ones going against him. They know that what he says is the way it is. I'm trying not to slam my desk too hard. I don't know if you guys can hear that. And so that's where I come in. Like, we think we're so clever. We think we're so smart. I'm saying this about myself too. Please don't misunderstand me. But at the end of the day, it's like, we're nothing. Like, when it comes down to how clever we are, we're not that clever. We're not that smart. We are just like a little tiny speck in the grand scheme of the universe of history. And yet we think that, oh, well, I don't like that God said this. So I'm going to go through scripture. I'm going to go through these other ideas and change the definitions or just rethink about it or just throw it away. It's like, great. Do you realize that what you're doing is wrong and it's just fruitless and stupid? It's like you... I don't want to go too far. I've probably made enough people angry right now. But here's the thing with that. I'm going to calm it down a little bit so I don't get too worked up. Actually, yeah, I don't want to get too worked up. It's already past 30 minutes, so I apologize. Remember what I said earlier? It's only so much I can do. My mouth just starts moving and I can't stop. But that's what I want this podcast for. First and foremost is to, like, let's look at those fundamental things. Let's deconstruct these things. Let's figure them out. Let's pull them apart. Let's tinker with them, understand them, and put them back together. Put them back together with a knowledge of why this goes here. And sometimes, and I'm sure this is what all the deconstructionists are thinking right now, the people that disagree with everything I just said 5 minutes ago or are angry about what I said 5 minutes ago. Some things you're saying are right, and some things need to change. I'll be the first one to say that. There are some things that the way the engine, in quotes, I have air quotes going on right now, has been put together, there's some pieces we don't need. There are some pieces that aren't even, or shouldn't even be there. There are some things that it's like, oh yeah, I don't know where that came from. We can find out where it came from, but it's not consistent with scripture. And the reason we know that is because truth is truth is truth. What is scripture saying? What is this thing teaching? And does it line up? And sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes there are beliefs that have been taught in the church for hundreds of years, sometimes 5 minutes maybe, and they're not right. They don't line up with what scripture is actually saying. And the great thing about that is we don't have to throw the whole engine out for just one little piece. Now, if the engine block is messed up, you got to throw that out. That's wrong. That's not right. But if it's just like, oh, I got to replace a piston. Cool. Done. Now, obviously, it's not that easy. But like a spark plug. Like, oh, cool. Done and done. Easy. Now the engine's going to run smooth. But we need to spend the time to go through those things. And that's what the podcast, that's what I want to do with it. And that's who this is for. This podcast is really for the people that want to understand how these things work and why they are this way. And so I'm not going against what the core idea of this podcast was even for either, which is the idea of let's talk to people who disagree, because sometimes you need to question that norm. And I want people on here that do, to say, hey, I don't agree with that. It could be as, you know, something as crazy as like, crazy, but no, something as big as just like, I can't think of a good example. I'll go with the last episode, like with hell, that conversation. That's a great conversation. We should have that conversation. Is hell real? If it is, what is it? Like, why is it the way it is? Those are great. And we need to have those discussions. I think those are great things because it reminds me, I just told someone this yesterday. It reminds me of something that my mom told me. Thanks, Mom. About her school, her college that she went to. If you said something and were like, I don't know, at the end of it, it's like, cool, why did you talk? Or if you said something but you couldn't back it up with anything, then why did you say it? Like, where is it coming from? And that's what I really want us to understand, is like, this is what we believe, and this is why we believe it. I will say it's not enough. to just believe it. let me rephrase that. In a way, it is enough. I'm not saying if you don't know why you're there or whatever. Don't take that out of context. But we shouldn't, I should say, we shouldn't stop there, is what I mean by it's not enough. It's good to believe that Christ is holy, that God is holy, but what does that mean? Why do you believe that? That's what I mean when I say that. Like, there comes a point when we need to learn more. We need to be able to understand that for ourselves, and if other people ask, as far as like, we're here to preach the gospel of Christ, and how can we do that if we don't even know what we're talking about? Yeah, that's really what I mean by that. And that's where the podcast is for. It's not for people that want to come on and hear two people yell at each other. It's not hear three people yell at each other, or to have these huge hot button topics and say outlandish things. Some things that I will say, some things that other people will say will probably seem outlandish or be like crazy. Sometimes it will be. That's going to happen. But at the end of the day, we need to come back to what is the gospel? What does Christ say? And if you're in a place right now where you're thinking like, cool, I want to learn more so I can justify my sinful behavior, you're in the wrong spot. But in the same place, you're in the right spot, because that's not what this is about. It's about, I want us to have a desire to know who God is and what he has said, so that way we can do it. I don't want to just sit back and be like, cool, that's what he said. He said, you know, go preach the gospel, make disciples. I'm like, cool. What does that even mean, though? And then just kind of stop there. It's like, no, let's know what that means. Let's know what that looks like so we can go and do it. I got to work on my ums. I say a lot. So sorry. I won't edit any of it out either. I'll keep them all in there. You're going to hear all of them. Dang it, I did it again. Yeah, that's... I'm kind of talking in circles at this point. That's where I'm going to end it there. That's who this is for. That's what this is about. I love discussions. I love devil's advocate. You can ask people that know me outside, you know, in person too. I love questioning the norm. That's one of my favorite things to do. I love learning. I love understanding. And that's what I want all of us to come into this with. But one thing that I will never stop doing, and never stop doing is teaching the gospel of Christ and what that means and what that is. And that is something that we're going to spend a lot more time on going forward here. Yeah, because that's where we start. If someone's going to come on here and tell me that, I'm going to use a really stupid example. And tell me that, like, murder is cool. It's like, great. That goes against what Scripture teaches to a fundamental level. Now we can get a little nuanced and say, what does that look like? What does murder actually mean? What's the definition of that? How do you justify certain things inside Scripture? Then that's a very interesting conversation that we can have. But if you're just coming on here to say that it's cool in every circumstance and it's like, murder is good and God said it's all right, well, we got a problem. And those are the conversations that I'm not going to entertain. I'll entertain the very like nuanced ones, because those I think there's a lot of fruit that can happen from that. But if you're just going to come on here and tell me that, like, hey, I'm not going to do this either. I don't want to just come on here and just say something. I want to be able to back it up and work through it and talk through it. Yeah, that's time. Life is too short life is way too short for people to come on here and tell me that, like, hey, it's cool to steal from your neighbor if you like his stuff. It's like, no, that's not. Now, if you want to talk about the nuances of extended borrowing without their permission, now that's interesting. You get my point. That was a funny joke. You guys better have laughed at that. Otherwise, my feelings will be hurt. All right. Well, that's what I have there. I appreciate you all. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for coming back on, too, since it's been such a long time. Appreciate you. Love you. I want to hear from you guys. Always do. Love hearing from you guys. If you have someone that you think would be really a topic that would be very interesting to talk about, if you have someone you're like, hey, you need to talk to this person, within reason, because, you know, there's only so many connections I have here. Very, very small. Very small podcast. I want to do that. I want to grow, and I want you guys to grow with me. I see that the calling that God has of we're here to make disciples, we're here to understand more of who he is and learn how to love Christ more. And that's what I want to do, and that's what I want all of us to do, is to understand what that means, what that looks like, so we can do it more effectively, so we can share that love with others, and we can enjoy that the love of Christ better and more effectively. Yeah, that's what I got there. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully it made sense. Hopefully I didn't make you too mad, and if I did, well, let's talk about it. Because that's what we're here for. That's what we do on Tipsy Theology. We talk about it. So with all that said, and I'll say it again, because it's true. Appreciate you all. Love you all. Love truth. That's so corny. All right. I'll see you guys next time. Hopefully sooner rather than later.